It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Another hour here on ESPN Las Vegas, on the road, Boise, Idaho, getting ready for UNLV football in the Mountain West Conference title game against the homestanding Boise State Broncos at the Golden Circle Sports Bar inside Treasure Island. Jeff Parles is manning the set there as we've got another hour on the way before the pregame. It's the Ted Weins pregame show up here on ESPN Las Vegas with Matt Neverett and Caleb Herring. And then I will be down on the field doing some sideline reporting as it is rainy and dank and not windy, though. Not windy. That's a good thing. It was a little bit windy for meeting number one. Stick around at 3:30, your chance to call in for Cofield & Company's Dollar Loan Center contest. That is a picks contest. We use three NFL games. All you got to do is pick the winner straight up, and there is mucho dinero in the pot. So that's coming up at 3:30. We'll take one caller courtesy of Dollar Loan Center. Important injury update, Jeff Parles, on the Boise side, because the official game day report is out. They put this out 2 hours before kickoff. UNLV had, I think it was 11 players listed as questionable 2 days ago. It's down to one. Jet Thomas is off the questionable list. The only guy who is questionable is backup quarterback Cam Friel. One key injury, Varquez Gums is probably out for the season. He's definitely out for this game. He's more of the pass-catching tight end along with Nick Elksness, so no Gums. On the other side, their big defensive lineman, Steed, is actually going to miss the first half because of a targeting call in last week's game against Utah State. But they do have a significant injury in Amari McCoy that just popped up last week. He's out for the season. And McCoy, according to PFF, he's one of the cornerbacks. And they have two excellent cornerbacks. Irby's very good. And if you don't know PFF rankings, really anyone having a season above a 70 is a pretty damn good player. And they've had a pretty consistent season. And Irby is at 74-4, which would put him amongst the top five or six defensive backs in the Mountain West Conference. Well, McCoy was even better than him. So McCoy checked in for the season at a 77.3, which is really, really good. He's the number one defender on the team, just ahead of an excellent player in Jaden Virgin Morgan. So they are down one of their best cornerbacks, which if Anthony Calandra and if the receivers can deal with the rain, could be slight advantage for UNLV against a depleted Boise defense.
That is something you got to be able to take advantage of, even with the bad weather. Like, look, again, the one good thing, the one advantage the offense has is so cliched, but it's true. You at least know where you're supposed to be going, right? In this inclement weather and a potential sloppy track. So, look, hey, Cofield, I really do feel like that. I understand what we just talked with Sammy P about what the sharp bettors are doing. This number was way bigger the first time, and Boise won by a ton and covered the big number last time. But this UNLV team is completely different, at least in my eyes, because Calandra's had a spectacular year, but it's only gotten better as the year's gone along. And that defense is just, it's a different unit from the last time they were up there. So I really do think UNLV is going to win the game tonight. I really do, Cofield. I think they're going to find a way and finally win that Mountain West title.
Well, we've been talking about it over and over again because it's such a big story, but the defense is key. They've got to tackle a lot better. They've got to have better gap integrity. Linebackers have to fill those gaps, especially if the assignment football isn't delivered up front. And I had a chance to talk to Blessing Alu-Alu Tuialamotu. He clearly has a long name, and because I'm a goofball, I always wonder, when you introduce yourself, like, I'll introduce myself, Steve Cofield, and someone will be like, Scott, Keith, like, because I'm a mumbler. When you have a really long name, you know every time you introduce yourself, they're like, what? So, of course, I started out the conversation with Blessing, asking him, hey, what's it like to have a really long name?
Usually I just tell them my first name.
Yeah.
And then, like, whenever people usually see it, then you know how the questions get. Every other week is, hey, how you say your name? How you say your name? I mean, it's nice and all. It means a lot, like in a Polynesian culture, when you got a name like that, name means everything in the Polynesian community.
By the way, is it your full name, or do you have, like, there's like no, six parts?
That's my full name right okay. there, Blessing Olo Tuamoto.
Okay, because there are Polys who, oh my God, they actually shortened it to this really difficult name. Where did the, just the first part of the name, Blessing, come from?
Actually, my grandma, I guess, like, the night of when I was being born, my mom was going to call me something else, I forget what it was. But my grandma was like, said, call him Blessing. Yeah. So I mean, now we're here.
There you go. It worked out. Yes, sir. It's been a blessing to come to UNLV for you.
Yes, sir.
I want to go back on your path because, for my recollection, you committed to a Marcus Arroyo program that, by the way, was coming off a 2-10 season.
Yes, sir.
So, what interested you so much about UNLV?
I mean, if I'm being truthfully honest, I didn't have much offers coming out of high school, and UNLV was the closest to home for me, and it was either them or Navy, and I didn't see myself being in the military, so here I am.
So who was the lead recruiter?
Mike Bruno.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And what'd you like about Coach Bruno?
I mean, just the way, like, he showed me the, like, in and out of the film room, you know what I'm saying? So that was, like, the big thing for me. Like, in high school, I was just all ball, play ball, play ball. But he was showing me, like, different stuff that you need to be a key linebacker.
So coaching changes can be scary,
yes, sir.
Right? One, you have to make a decision if you want to stay. What was that staff's reaction to, you know, who you were and if they wanted you and you wanted to stay?
You talking about Coach Sheridan? I mean, they didn't really know me too much. I mean, Coach Shear, I thank him because I wouldn't be here right now. He took a risk. He let me come here. And I think it was after the first scrimmage. Like, the first scrimmage I did, I think I did good. My coach said I did good. So I think that really set the tone right there for me.
Who were some of the veteran players on that first year here you know, you kind of gravitated to them and you're like, oh, this is a cool place to be?
The big one for me, I will always say, is Jackson Woodard. Though he took me under his wing when I first got out here, took me eat, you know what I mean? I didn't have a car, I only had a scooter, so he used to take me out. But that was a guy that really showed me the way.
So what's been the difference this year aside from playing time? Like, why have you matured on the field?
I think my first 2 years, obviously I was still immature. I was making undisciplined plays. But I think the difference this year is obviously I'm older. I think I really got to, like, tune in on the little details that it takes to play linebacker.
Okay, so Jackson Woodard is one type of leader.
Yes, sir.
What's it been like being around Justin Flo and Edmondson? Because they're also both personalities.
I mean, both great guys to be in the room with. Justin Flo, funny. The funniest guy you ever met. Bryce is probably the smartest football player, or one of the smartest football players I've played with out here. They both got good leadership skills. And, you know, I like to take little parts from their game that I like.
How would you describe your group of linebackers in terms of the communication during the games? Like, you guys are pretty studious. I see McDuffie kind of calming people down.
Yeah.
It's not a group that comes to the sideline
and is,
like, pouting or yelling at each other.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is once you have all the guys in the room playing together and, like, wanting to play for each other and not playing for themselves, I think that's what makes everything more smooth, more calm.
Let's go back to when things started to really turn the corner for the defense.
Yes, sir.
Obviously, the game at CSU was a big one.
Yes, sir.
I thought the Hawaii game was gigantic, and the fact that they came in hot as a pistol, they're running this system that's working really well with Alejado. Yeah. How big was that game for the defense's confidence to shut an offense like that down?
I mean, it was very big for us because, as everybody knows, the first five to eight weeks wasn't very good. But I feel like after that, of course, the Boise and the New Mexico loss, everybody really had to look in the mirror and, like, this is not the defense that we is, not the defense we want to be. So, I mean, and then after that Colorado State game, we all looked at each other, and Coach PG actually put the whole defense to the side. He's like, if we can do this every week, we'll win the championship. And Friday, we just got to go play hard.
Passion during the Hawaii game, what was that like for you? Because it got real heated at the end. There were some personal fouls and stuff. But what's it like out there for, you know, a Hawaiian and, you know, the talk level and the stuff that goes on the field?
I mean, for me, just because they didn't offer me, it was really more personal for me. So, like, I didn't even want to come out that game. But, I mean, you got to do what's best for the team, obviously. I feel like with all the commotion, with all the feelings, the emotion, you just got to stay calm and do it all.
So tell me what it was like for you in the Reno game. I don't know how this coaching staff graded your game, but Pro Football Focus, which I look at, and they don't have the game plan.
Yes, sir.
But they gave you the best rating that you've had all year. So why did it really click in that game?
I think it's just, again, back to what I said, me capitalizing on the little things. That's what Bam really tries to instill in me now. Like, for me, it's always the little things that's messing me up. And I feel like Reno was, as you said, one of my best games because I feel like I started turning into the right details. My eyes was right, and it just felt good overall.
Okay, let's go back to Boise game number one. They had a lot of long runs.
Yes, sir.
What was happening in front of you, and then what was happening with you at times and the other linebackers that they were able to pop those big runs?
Boys game, the first boys game, I didn't really play too much. But from what our coaches seen, what we watched in film, everybody just has to get a line. Everybody has to do their job, not be Superman, not try to go out your gap to make a play. And that's what I really feel like was haunting us last game.
Do you remember last year's title game and kind of how that felt, the feeling before the game and then losing the game?
I mean, I remember being cold on the sideline watching Woody play. That's what I remember. But, I mean, it's obviously a big game, and I'm grateful that I get to finally play in it. This is my third one I've been in, and it's the first time I get to finally play in it.
Why do you think going back a couple of coaching staffs have you guys been so effective on the road? What is it about the group and the maturity?
I think it's the structure of how they have everything. Like, from till the whistle blow from the started game till then, where everything has to be right, everything has to line up to the end of the whistle blow. So, I mean, I think that was the biggest part, was our coach making sure that we strain no matter what it is. No matter if you're coming down to a meeting, no matter if you have to go and do a walkthrough, because all those little things count.
Everyone's different with crowd noise. Some guys hear it on the road. Do you guys use it as a rallying point? Or you might tell me, hey, you know what? I don't hear it the whole time.
Yeah, to be honest, I don't really hear it. Me and Marcel was trying to get the call out to the rest nine other guys. So that really don't like phase me in any part of my game.
I'm going to go back to close on this one. To go back to the way you guys behave, act, discuss, communicate on the sidelines during a game when maybe things aren't going right. I got to tell you, from what I see of Vontaze Burfict, and you can tell me,
he's
actually a calming influence, which is like counterintuitive because everyone knows Vontaze is like a freaking wild man when he played in the NFL. What is he like in game in terms of the advice he gives?
I mean, he's an NFL guy. He's a pro guy. He's been there. He knows what it looks like. He knows what the NFL coaches want. So, I mean, having him on that sideline has been really big for us, at least. Like, even though that might not be our gap or our play to make, he will give us little details, little maybe steps or what you should do in this or that play. And honestly, like, people's picture of Vontaze is based off the internet. You know what I'm saying? You know how the internet is. But he's a great, great guy, great coach, and shoot, I love him.
There he is, linebacker for the Rebels, third year in the program, Blessing Alualu Tuialamotu. On the way back, we'll go to a former NFL player, get a preview of this game and also the NFL weekend. Mark McMillan joins us on this Friday right here on ESPN.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, we continue to preview this big college football weekend as UNLV is in Boise. That's where I am. Jeff Parles is down at TI inside, protected against any sort of rain. It's raining here, man. It's raining hard. I'm getting ready for 5 hours in the rain. And more important than that, which team is going to handle this better? Mark McMillan is with us, former NFL player. Mark, you have followed UNLV especially close the last couple of years. Another big night in the history of the school here in the Mountain West Conference title game.
It's exciting. You know, obviously I went to Alabama. I'm excited about them going in the championship game, but they've been there so many times. But this UNLV team, man, it seems like they finally got it put together. You just throw away the game that they played against Boise last couple of weeks ago, and this is for all the marbles. And you know, I've seen a couple of pictures, and you mentioned rain. It's pretty messed up that they had to play the game in that kind of condition. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I know it's going to be a difficult game on both sides of the ball. But one thing about UNLV, they can run the ball. And that, you know, that's going to play in their favor. And then when you have one of the most dynamic college quarterbacks in the game, who I absolutely love, Steve. You know, he's like my man crush, man. I love that quarterback.
Anthony Calandria. Well, the biggest thing for the Rebels, last time around, they were just kind of a mess up front with assignment football. Yep. Guys on the back end, you know, safeties. Had foot in the bucket a couple times on some deep passes. Also kind of misjudged once the assignment got screwed up front. So if they can seal things up and just kind of play a good mental game on defense, they're in good shape.
And they've been playing really well the last couple of weeks. Obviously, you know, the big play that they gave up to Hawaii. But after that, man, the defense played lights out. You know, they got some guys that can get after the passer. Their secondary has played a lot better, especially since they played Boise State last time. So it should be a good game. I know Coach Mullen's going to have those guys fired up. The offense, I'm not worried about the offense, man. They can score points on anybody. It's just the defensive side of the ball. They just got to play tough, you know, play mistake-free football on the offensive side of the ball, which UNLV does a really good job of taking care of the football. So it should be a pretty interesting matchup. And, you know, I got to pull for my guy Ty Benefield. He's on the other side with Boise State. I actually played with his dad and JUCO in the NFL as well. So it should be a really good game. I'm excited for it.
Mark, what's going to happen to Alabama if they don't win the game? Are they out of the CFP?
You know, that's the crazy part. You know, last year they lost and they got, you know, bumped out. Right now they're number 9. So I know 10 teams get in. So if they lose, maybe they'll drop down to number 10. You got Notre Dame. You got BYU. You know, you got a lot of teams out there. You got Miami that's trying to get in. Texas, who needs to just sit down and just go milk the cows, they're not getting in. But it's going to be tough. You know, got a lot of injuries on the Alabama side. But I don't think people want to see Alabama in there again, you know, especially after Nick Saban. But, you know, they pull this off, you know, winning the SEC championship and then they're in the playoffs.
Mark McMillan is with us. James is back in our Finley Toyota studios. Parles at TI. Hey, James, do me a favor. Answer the chat over on our video page. I had a question about some timing this hour. Chef Mark is up. Okay. Give us the diagnosis, Mark. Like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I thought Eagles locked for the NFC title game. Their defense is great, and now it's a mess on both sides of the ball.
Oh, my gosh. You know, at first it was the A.J. Brown drama. Then it was Jalen Hurts is a terrible quarterback. Then our defense was playing lights out. Now our defense can't stop. They can't stop a bloody nose. You know, it's terrible. You know, guys are just running right through them like it's diarrhea. And it's embarrassing. You know, they were once one of the top teams in the NFL. But right now they are struggling. And I was excited to see the Cowboys lose because they were, you know, they were looking pretty good coming in, down the stretch with a couple of games ago. They could have had an opportunity to win the division. So it's a lot of turmoil in Philly. They're headed to L.A., they play the Chargers on Monday Night Football, so hopefully they can get that win and kind of get a little bit of breathing room because they're struggling right now, man. They were throwing snowballs and coins at the offensive coordinator's house. That's how bad it is in Philly.
The Raiders-Broncos game is a really big game for Denver, right? I mean, they're playing for supremacy in the AFC, which now is more important than ever with the new playoff format.
Yeah, the way it is, you know, like I said, the new playoff format, you want to try to win that division. You can get that first round bye. They're playing really well, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They have one of the best defenses in the league, and you know, led by none other than the Alabama guy, Patrick Surtain on the corner. Bo Nix is just playing, you know, kind of mistake-free football. He's not really putting up big numbers. So they're winning on the defensive side of the ball. And for the Raiders, you know, you had an opportunity to win the game when they're in Denver, and, you know, you get the opportunity to spoil someone's season. So hopefully they'll come out with some enthusiasm and, you know, give the fans something to hope for.
Mark, I'm not saying that the Raiders should be able to pull a shocker or anything like this, but Denver, I get their 10-2, but is there such thing as an unimpressive 10-2 where they've had to come from behind in 9 out of their 10 wins so far this year?
Not in the NFL, man. When you can win 10 games, I don't care if you're playing pee-wee football or backgammon or hopscotch, 10 games in the NFL, if you can win that many, that's impressive, man. Even if you win by 1 or 2 points, you know, there's a lot of teams out there that wish they were 10-2 but lost by a couple of points. So, like I said, they haven't been really putting up points on the offensive side of the ball, but their defense is lights out, and they create so many turnovers to give the offense short fields.
Hey, Mark, I appreciate the time today. Sorry we squeezed you a little bit. We were up against it with some of the other stuff we got going on this hour. Thanks for checking in. Enjoy the game tonight. We will talk to you soon, okay?
Man, you know, I'll be texting you during the game, man. Stay warm on the sideline, buddy.
There you go. I know you will. Coming up, the Kofin & Company Picks Contest brought to you by Dollar Loan Center. There is at least $100 in the pot. We got 3 games straight up that you're going to pick. Bengals, Bills, Jets, Dolphins, Titans, Browns. So load up the phones. James will pick a caller, 364-1100. Actually, it's going to be caller number 4. Caller number 4, 364-1100, 364-1100. Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest is on the way, and then we're going to get the Boise side of things from one of the local radio stars. Mike Prater will be on Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Ryan Radke here from Sunday Night Football on Westwood One. Mike Golic and I will be in Kansas City this week when the Chiefs host the Texans. Kansas City sits outside the playoff picture at 6-6, knowing they need wins down the stretch. Now they get a league-leading defense in Houston, who is feeling confident after 4 straight wins. Join us for all the action on Sunday Night Football.
On ESPN Las Vegas, 1100 AM and 100.9 FM.
The Vegas Golden Knights are rolling through another epic season. And there's nothing more refreshing than an ice-cold Surfside to enjoy while you cheer on your Knights on the ice. Surfside is only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. That's right, no carbonation. So it's easy to sip and enjoy. It's not seltzer, it's Surfside, official partner of the Vegas Golden Knights. Sold in arena and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21, please drink responsibly.
Toyota-thon, Toyota-thon, Toyota-thon is on. Hey, Jan from Toyota here. Toyota-thon is on. Make your holiday wishes come true with a new Camry, RAV4, Tacoma, and more. Let's sing it together this time.
Dealer inventory may vary. Toyota-thon ends January 5th. See your participating dealer for details. Toyota, let's go places.
Visit your Southern Nevada Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places.
Football is here. The Golden Circle Sports Bar inside Treasure Island Hotel and Casino is the best place to watch games on the Strip. There's a huge video wall and over 55-plus screens throughout the bar. Place your sports bets at the new STN Sportsbook. The menu with the Golden Circle Burger, the Linebacker Bison Burger, Philly Cheesesteak, the Polish Sausage, and so much more is dynamite. The Golden Circle Sports Bar's happy hour is amazing with $5 draft beers every day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Treasure Island, the Vegas destination for those seeking a contemporary resort experience with an ideal location on the Las Vegas Strip. And remember, parking is always free.
Hey, Las Vegas, it's Chris Fox with Simply Vegas Real Estate. You know, I've been in Vegas for 34 years, and I know the market inside and out. So if you're buying, selling, investing, maybe you have a property you need to get rid of fast, I can help. 702-419-4346. You know, home values are still strong, interest rates are shifting, and smart moves today can pay off big tomorrow. So if you're ready to make a change, call me, 702-419-4346, 702-419-4346, or go to foxsellsvegas.com. Simply Vegas Real Estate, broker number 100960.
Now back to Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, mama. Jeff Parles, it is coming down now in Boise. I see the Boise sideline. Some of the folks are using squeegees to try to clear the sideline of water. I don't know what the drainage is like here. So far, it looks pretty good. But, man, this is going to be a crazy game tonight with pretty steady rain and about 40 degrees in Boise. All right, it's time. Each week we do our Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. You get to pick three games straight up in the NFL. We've got David on the horn with Jeff and Cofield. David, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, man. You ready to pick these three games? I'll throw them your way. You ready?
Oh, sure. Why not?
Here we go. Straight up. Straight up winner. Bengals and Bills. Bengals and Bills. Who wins?
Okay. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
All right. Looking for the upset. I figured if I threw that in there, someone might pick the upset.
Yeah,
all right.
Of course.
These are the toilet bowl with these four teams. Ready? Jets and Dolphins.
Okay.
Who wins? Jets, Dolphins.
Ooh, I'll take the Jets.
All right. Good for you. I'm a Jets fan. So is Parles. That was a terrible pick. Titans and Browns. David, third game. Titans and Browns. A chance with a straight-up winner to possibly win the money.
Man, you're killing me.
I know. These are junky games, but they're the closest ones by the spread.
All right. I'm going to go with the Titans. Why not?
All right. Why not? David, we appreciate you calling in. Thanks for being a listener. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you, buddy.
Hey, you too. Thanks a lot.
There it is. Dollar Loan Center Picks Contest. It is brought to you by the DLC. We've got at least $100 in the pot. If David gets all three correct, he is going to win the money. We'll come back to rainy Boise in just a couple minutes. One of the big local radio stars and columnist, Mike Prater. I talked to him earlier in the day, and he has some really interesting takes on Maddox Mattson, who was back in the lineup after missing the last three games. Is he 100%? Why is Spencer Danielson going with him over Max Cutforth, who's played well the last few weeks? And could that be a decision that cost Boise State dearly in the Mountain West Conference title game? It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
So getting ready for Boise and UNLV in the Mountain West Conference title game. And Mike Prater always helps us preview these games. There's been a lot of these games lately, Mike, as Mike is one of the local radio stars, great columnist in Boise as we're here on the ground at the stadium. You'll have to go back in the memory banks because this will be a nice thing for our local listeners who go back with me to like 2004. I did not realize, and I guess I met you years ago via our good friend, the Sports Pig.
Mike Response, the Sports Pig. Yeah, he started here. He was here in the 90s, and it gave him his own show. I did some part-time stuff with him because I was mostly in the newspaper business back then, but was dabbling in the radio and became really, really good friends. And, my mother and brother lived in Vegas at the time. My brother still does, but I would come down all the time and hang out with Mike Response. And if you're hanging out with Mike Response, you probably know exactly what we were doing and having a great time and living the Las Vegas dream. And the Sports Pig made it. People still talk about it. It's been, what, 20? I think it came to Vegas probably in 2005-ish.
Way before that. He came back. He came down in like 99 or 98.
Okay. So he was probably here from 94 to 98, 99 window. So it was just real quick, 5 years.
Yeah.
And people still talk about him. And what a great, talented dude. Love that dude. Miss that guy. And when I found out and connected the dots that that you and the Sports Pig had done a couple of shows together, I actually went down memory lane a couple of days ago and found a whole bunch of pictures. And I'm not a warm and fuzzy guy, but it kind of gave me the warm and fuzzies.
Well, I'll tell you, he would have been a megastar with the help of social media, because
yes,
he would be unbelievable on social media, just poking people, because that's what he did. And he got phone calls, and like, people couldn't stand him, but they still call in because he drove them nuts. He was so creative that way. There's a guy in the conference, and this is a weird way to start things out, but I want to talk about the Boise fan following. There's a guy in the conference who covers New Mexico, Jeff Grammer, and Jeff Grammer put out a graphic with attendance, and New Mexico's football attendance is through the roof. And in the chart, it actually showed Boise dropping a little bit. But as it turns out, you know, the stadium had a reduction in terms of seats. And this thing has been going on for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I saw the other day that the AD was kind of poking and reaching out to Jeff Grammer. Like, fan following here is such a big story.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I'm not sure. We've had a love-hate relationship with the fan base around here for a long time. And it's, the Boise fans are very sensitive. They're very spoiled. And any time that somebody goes out there and Jeff probably should have put a little asterisk in his thing, and I think he probably understood that. But,
yeah,
you know, that's a 10-second conversation that's dragged on for 6 weeks.
Yep.
And I would imagine he's not a big fan of the Boise State fan base. And I know Boise State fans kind of get on fans around the league. It's one of those weird deals. These guys are really spoiled, really entitled, but they're also passionate and proud. It's a 50-50 thing. And I've been fighting these suckers for 30 years, and I enjoy the battles, and when it goes beyond the city of Boise into Albuquerque or Las Vegas, that's when I really kind of just take a step back and put a big old smile on my face and watch Boise State fans do what they do, and I'm not sure if that's good or bad.
I think it's mostly good. I mean, they're lunatics, but that's fine. they're into it, and I know one of the issues you guys have talked about is, you know, with late notice, can they fill the stadium? They're going to fill the stadium, right? UNLV, obviously, the fans aren't coming up here. They returned a lot of the tickets. They're going to fill this thing, right?
I don't think it's going to be an official sellout unless Jeremiah Dickey tweaks the numbers, and he's big into this streak. The sellout streak at Albertson Stadium in Boise has 19 games. That was back in the Kellen Moore era. I believe they're at 14 right now, and obviously he wants to get into next year with this streak going on. Last I saw the graphic, they've been putting out graphics every single day. And last I saw, this thing was 80% sold out. It's going to be rainy. It's going to be cold tonight. It's going to be festive. And with the reconfigured stadium, I think you can get about 32,000 in there. They're going to push 30. So there's going to be, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 scattered empty seats. I don't think you're going to be able to know it, but I'd be surprised if Boise State officially announced the sellout, unless Jeremiah Dickey likes to cook the books a little bit to keep the streak going alive. And I wouldn't put it past him either.
Mike Prater, local radio star here in Boise. We're getting ready for the Ted Weins pregame show coming up here in less than 15 minutes. I saw you tweet out some interesting thoughts, and I like this. I like being down the middle on the stuff. I like not being a hometown guy, and I try to do the same thing. I think you and I both had the same thoughts on this title game matchup, Boise and UNLV. It's a little weird. Like, I don't know who should be in the game, but in a way, in some ways, I was like, I don't know if UNLV should be in it. You think what? It should have been San Diego State and UNLV. And also the fact that Boise is hosting it is a little bit odd.
Oh, the fact that Boise's hosting is ridiculously odd. I mean, of the four teams that were involved with the tiebreaker last week, they had the most losses by far. I mean, four. They had the worst loss by far in terms of a home loss to Fresno State, in which they look like a third grade football team. I don't know what it is, man. It's just that it exists. It's part of the reason why we go back to why the fans are so annoying at times. It seems like that this program is blessed, and I'm not sure why Boise State's hosting this football game. It is kind of ridiculous. UNLV, San Diego State, Boise State. I wasn't really ever onto the New Mexico bandwagon, even though they came on late and they beat San Diego State late. that's the recency bias thing, but we all have to forget what they were like in the first half of the season, and these computers take in the entire season. So I never thought New Mexico had a chance like everybody else was thinking, and I thought it was going to be Boise and or either New Mexico, or I'm sorry, either San Diego or UNLV, and under any scenario, I had no expectations of Boise State hosting this football game, and frankly, they shouldn't. It's the ACC has a problem with Miami and their computer stuff and how it all blows up. And Boise certainly has it. And, you know, it's Boise will take it. It'll be fun. It'll be festive tonight. I don't think that that'll intimidate UNLV. They've been here before. This game will be decided based on the players on the field and not the home field advantage. But it is kind of weird. I mean, Boise State fans, just it's like the golden program that just keeps on getting good fortune. And sometimes you make your good fortune and sometimes you're just lucky.
Mike Prater's with us here on ESPN Las Vegas. We talked about that love-hate relationship with the fans. I think they have that relationship with Maddox Madsen. He's back in there. Should he be back in there? And why is there a love-hate relationship for a guy who's led them to so many wins?
5'10", and his first name isn't Malachi, as in Malachi Nelson. And last year, if I take you back to spring camp last year, and Boise State is celebrating 6 column headlines, World War II font size across the top, Boise State lands 5-star from USC. Well, that was the end of Maddox Madsen's reputation right there, because everybody in Boise wanted the 5-star from USC, and Malachi Nelson wasn't it. And Dirk Cutter wasn't buying it, and he never had a chance. And now we see what the true Malachi Nelson is, sitting on the bench at UTEP. And Maddox Madsen's 5 feet tall, who makes a lot of mistakes. But he's a gamer. He's gutsy. He's smart. He does a lot of great things. He can't pass the ball downfield. I don't think he's a very good passer, and that's one thing that I kind of beat him up on. Here and Max Cutforth has come on the last couple of weeks and is pretty good at passing. Now, if you go back and look at the analytics, Maddox Madsen is a more efficient and more clean passer, certainly, and especially at home. Spencer Danielson 100% made the right call in making Maddox Madsen, even though everybody here is beating up Spencer Danielson because they want to see the sexy new shiny toy in Max Cutforth, who can throw the ball a little bit more downfield. But he's young. He's going to make some mistakes. I think Maddox can play a clean game in an important game like this. And the most important question that I've been asked all week long by 30 fans, 40 fans, how long is or how short is Maddox Madsen's leash? My answer is it doesn't exist. He's not getting pulled, guys, unless we see some physical limitations. He's got 2 bad ankles and a really, really bad right toe. So he's got 3 things going on right there. And if there's some physical limitations and he really starts to struggle in the second half because he's limping around, maybe I can see that. Otherwise, if he physically looks fine, I don't think there is a leash.
Yeah, I agree with you on the being pulled. He'll have to be just horrible. And I know he's not going to pull himself. He's not going to admit that he's hurt because that's the kind of player he is. And that's not being selfish. He's a gamer. How about the weather, though? Because you think about the weather and you're like, well, UNLV may be affected because they play inside, although they've already played multiple cold weather and weird games outside. They've got, I think, going back to last year, they've got 12 road wins and leads of the country, so they've actually been road warriors, except here. Is the rain a factor for Madsen, since all the injuries are leg injuries and foot injuries?
It can be. I mean, that turf can get slippery, and it just takes one little misstep, and all of a sudden he's got that retweak of a toe or an ankle, and again, it's on both sides, 100%. Will it affect the game? I we'll see. I mean, rain can always affect the game. I don't think it's going to be cold. I looked at the weather app this morning. I mean, relatively speaking, I'd rather be on a Vegas golf course in shorts right now. Yeah. And I'm going to put on 7 coats for the game tonight. But it's going to be in the 40s. And when I looked at my app, it's one of those weird nights where it's actually going to get warmer as the night goes on. It might get up to like, you know, the game might start in the 40, like around 40, 41, and it might hit like 45 by the time the game's over. So I don't think it's going to get cold. And I don't think it's going to be sheets of rain like we saw Boise and San Diego or maybe other games that UNLV has played. But, yeah, it's going to be moist. It's going to be slippery. It's going to be a little chilly. But I don't think it's going to be a difference maker for either one of these two teams tonight.
He does radio on KTIK in Boise. It's Mike Prater. He's a columnist as well. He's helping us preview UNLV at Boise in the Mountain West Conference title game. I saw one of your tweets, and I thought it was interesting the way you framed it, about Anthony Calandria. The offensive player of the year. Madsen got all those honors before the year. Tell me what you think of Calandria, what you thought of him in the first matchup and this matchup defensively for the Broncos.
Yeah, I mean, Boise State's playing great on the back half of this defense, and defensive backs coach, cornerbacks coach, DeMario Warren has been just the most, you know, vilified coach in Boise for the last couple of years based on the way the back half of Boise State's defense has been playing. But they've been playing spectacular the last couple of last couple of months, frankly. And that's been the strength of this football team. Now, they just lost a major player to injury, and so they're going to be down a man here. But I think this is going to be a fantastic battle. I mean, Anthony Calandria is going to be phenomenal to watch. He didn't have a spectacular game here, but Boise or UNLV's defense or offense was really, really good here. They scored, what, 31 points, 34 points, whatever it was?
31, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to get there. I think it's going to take 30 points to win this football game. Boise State's not going to score 56 again, I promise you that. This game will be like a 36-31 type of game. I have no idea who's going to win it. I'm a homer here in Boise, so I went on a show this morning and said Boise was going to win it, but I also said last year was a celebration. Tonight's going to be incredibly stressful because I think it's going to come down to the end. And frankly, if it does come down to the end, I think that is advantage Anthony Calandria. I mean, he's riding high. He's playing really, really well. He's got the confidence of this award. And Maddox Madsen hasn't played football in a month. And even when Maddox Madsen's playing football and he's clean and he's healthy, there's issues there. And it can be taken advantage of. So we'll see. It all comes down to the play caller as well. Nate Potter is the rookie offensive play caller. I've said, unfortunately, many times on the air and in my column this week that or this season that he is the weak link of this football team because he's so inconsistent. One week he calls a brilliant game, and the next week he falls asleep for 3 hours, and I'm not sure what the hell he's doing. So if Nate Potter can come out and call a clean game tonight and put Maddox Madsen into a position, I think he can be okay, but I have a feeling that Anthony Calandria is going to be the big star of the night.
Mike, let's close on this. I wanted to get your perspective, the outside perspective, on the rise of UNLV football and the development of this rivalry. If you go back, 6, 8, 10, 15 years, that would have been a freaking joke that UNLV could compete on any level with Boise State. Now, the sad part about it is they've played 5 times in a couple of seasons, and then the whole thing's going to go bye-bye because of the conference split-up. But yep. What's your perspective on this amazing rise, by the way, with 2 different head coaches for UNLV football?
I love it, and I'm really sad that it's going to end tonight. Think about this, guys. I mean, it's almost like Boise State and UNLV, based on the last couple of years and these last 4 or 5 games, it's been so much fun. Whether we go down to Vegas or whether you guys come up here, it's been really, really fun. And you think that there's a rivalry here, and there is, but why? And Boise State's won 10 consecutive games. The average margin of victory is 3 touchdowns, 21 points. They've been blowouts. I think 9 of the 10 games have been double-digit games. But yeah, we have this perception that it's a really good series and a really good rivalry. I love what Dan Mullen's done. Obviously, he's not going to be there forever. We fell in love with Barry Odom. He came on. He's the only visiting coach that would come on our show on a regular basis, and we actually started calling him a friend toward the end because we had a lot of fun with that dude. And so we've fallen in love with UNLV football over the last couple of years. And tonight's going to be emotionally bittersweet for guys like me because I love hanging out with you, and I love coming down to Allegiant, and I love the Odoms and the Mullins of the world and the players that you've brought into this rivalry the last couple of years. It's been spectacular to watch, and it's going to be bittersweet. I go back to the night that Boise State accepted an invitation into the Pac-12, and as I'm making my midnight phone calls, I kept saying, why not UNLV? Why not UNLV? And everybody kept saying, well, the TV partners said they don't bring anything to the table. And now Boise State's of the world, and the new Pac-12 is stuck with Texas frickin' State. Are you kidding me? If this was UNLV, or think about the timing of it all. Heck, if this was even New Mexico, based on what they're doing now and the basketball program that they have, that's a hell of a lot better than Texas State. So a little bit of sweet feelings tonight. I've encouraged Jeremiah Dickey to make sure, and I know that they have one opening on their schedule next year. That won't happen, but I would love to see a future rivalry with UNLV.
Mike, you're the best, man. Love your honest opinions and your take on Boise and the program. Good preview. And I'll see you out on the field in a couple minutes.
Thanks for always being so good to us. Thanks for always coming up to Boise. I hope Boise treats you well, and let's get after it tonight, my friend.
Yeah, I'll get after it. I'll get after it. I'm not playing, but I'll get after it. I don't want to jinx it. Mike Prater there from KTIK here in Boise. Harles, I think it has stopped raining for now. Matt Neverett, who, of course, is the voice of the Rebels, voice of baseball in Las Vegas, will be coming up on the Ted Wiens pregame show with Caleb Herring. He loves a pregame torture session with the Southern Californian, Caleb Herring. So he's opened the windows, and we can feel. You know what's great in that Prater conversation? He's like, it's not going to be that cold tonight. I'm like, man, what? I'm like, 40's cold for Vegas, brother. Like, it ain't going to be 27 like it was last year, but dank and 40 is still freaking cold. All right, Parles, let's go. What's the pick for the game? And be honest. Don't be a homer.
Can I be honest and a homer at the same time?
Yeah.
UNLV 31, Boise 27. I think we're going to get it just right on that total, and UNLV finds a way to get it done. Calandria makes the difference.
And I should be the homer, but I'm thinking 37-34. And I think UNLV might come up a little bit short, but, man, if they keep it together defensively, just be disciplined. None of those botched gap assignments and just no free runs for especially Dylan Riley, who's just a freaking beast. 266 combined with the running backs in the last game. So they do better than that. They're going to win this game, and they can win the Mountain West Conference Championship. Let's hope they do it. Stick around. Ted Wien's pregame show is on the way. Thanks to James. Thanks to the folks here in Boise for hosting the show. Parles, excellent job. And, of course, thanks to Mr. Ruffin and Treasure Island.